I start to hear the word in my mind of a leadership system has some guiding principles in it.
Yes.
But not necessarily, you know, the hierarchical, the typical, you know, here's the chart with the, you know, the arrows and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So I guess what I'm interested in is, and you've talked about this again, so if it's redundant, we can move on, but.
I understand.
The idea of leaders and managers getting along is sort of like a mythical idea in my world. And you said things like, you know, the managers want to measure things and, you know, create systems so that there is predictability. And leaders are much more comfortable with instability and all of that kind of stuff. So let's get the managers and leaders working together. What are your suggestions there?
Well, I think it has to start with some clarity in everybody's mind about what each of them does and what each of them accomplishes. So what do they do? And beyond stereotypes, you know, beyond this, the leaders look at the managers and they think what they do is they sit around all day creating rules. Well, come on, you know. That's a demeaning stereotype. Yes, they tend to have policies. That's very central to management-driven systems that are based on somebody's notion of what has worked and therefore the way you should do something as opposed to reinventing the wheel, you know, daily. So number one is getting some clarity about what they do. Number two is getting some clarity about what they each achieve. It's not as if they're both trying to achieve the same thing and one does it better than the other. They're trying to achieve something very different, or they do achieve, if done well, something very different. One having to do with taking what can be an unbelievably complicated, large system spread out over geography, and incredibly, in a sense, make the damn things function every day without kind of falling apart. And the other, create stuff. I mean, it's great at spotting new opportunities, creating new things, successfully getting results from those things, and having the things sustain itself, moving with speed and agility. So that's part two. And then part three is some help them to let's get clarity about what the world is like today. One part of the world is kind of obvious, which is we've got increasingly organizations that aren't 3 or 4 or 5 years old, but most of the organizations out there that we see and employ a lot of people and are influential have been around for sometime at least, and they have some scale and scope, and making that run every day without blowing up is a given. But those things are operating. This is part two, which people don't entirely appreciate, but they've got to, and you can help them too. I mean, we do it all the time in an increasingly fast-moving world where if you obsess only with the very, very difficult task of making sure that damn work gets done every day and gets done well and efficiently and on quality, you can get killed because something comes out of left field. The most obvious ones that people talk about all the time, of course, are technology-based. Some, you know, guy and two kids that just graduated from the University of Oklahoma come up with a new app which is based on a totally different business model, but it's serving your customers in a way that is better, cheaper, whatever, and all of a sudden, I mean, it's good luck. I mean, you're a mess. But the kind of changes that can come out of nowhere and create problems for you are of a lot of a broader scope than that. In this increasingly integrated global, you know, mass that we're all involved in, both hazards, you know, the world still doesn't understand that a little dinky company, a country with 4 million people, has some financial crises, and And halfway around the world, through a series of little links that are almost that are invisible and are hard to even for a smart guy to pin down and understand, they're affecting businesses or governments or whatever halfway around the world. This is the Greek crisis. That couldn't have happened 50 years ago because there wasn't the global integration that we have today. And that's another sort of thing where, you know, pick your little Kuwait. If they suddenly found a whole lot more oil and decided they're going to pump the damn stuff as fast as they can, Kuwait, which is so small that it's hard to find it on a globe, everywhere around the world, certainly halfway in Seattle, the oil price could be driven down in a relatively short period of time, and that would have both positive effects for certain kinds of industries in Seattle, and it could have devastatingly negative effects for other kinds of industries. That's just another part of the environment, which means well-managed systems are vulnerable, and they're getting more and more vulnerable unless you've got the second piece. And I predict right now that what's going to happen, and I can't predict how, because it's hard to predict anything more than about, sometimes I think, 5 minutes into the future, but realistically a year into the future, we're going to see everybody move in the direction of creating these some version of what I'm calling a dual system. And that's going to become the norm in this world because the world is increasingly going to be organizations of some size and scale operating in more and more rapidly changing environments.